Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Couch Potato Sports Presents Crash Net Podcast. I'm your host Trevor Reed. We're here on Thanksgiving week and I'm here with Kelsey Harmon. Kelsey, how are you doing right now?
Doing fantastic, thanks. How are you?
Doing great. Had a good week. Got to see some Avs wins. Had a good week at work, good week at home, ready for the holidays, ready to get fat. I'm ready.
Ready to eat some food. Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Me too. Real quick, what is your favorite Thanksgiving food?
All right, so, and I made a good judgment on this, but I'm a green bean casserole guy.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. No judgment.
You know, it's just one of the few times you get to eat it. You know, I mean, you can make it any time of the year, really, but it fits Thanksgiving, and then you know, stuffing always good. You can't go wrong with stuffing. But
that one is mine, and I've shared that recently, and I've been getting judged, to be honest. I mean, people are like, who likes wet bread? Who, you know, like, that's, stuffing is disgusting. I'm telling you, it's my favorite part. Add some gravy on top.
No, that's
fat, dumb, and happy.
No, like, stuffing is one of the best things, and you add the turkey gravy on top of it. You know, you got to get the turkey on your plate, some ham too. Throw some stuffing, some,
a little bit of everything. Yeah, yeah,
you know, and then you finish it off with sweet potatoes.
We'll agree to disagree on that one. But anyway, that stuffing is amazing.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with some stuffing.
But so we had a fun week with the Avs. We got a fun week coming up. We got a couple good games, you know. one of the big ones I think coming up is going to be playing the Stars again. After the way that game ended, playing them again on Saturday, revealing the reverse retros, it's going to be a lot of fun. But let's talk about the way that these last three games have gone since we were on here last. You know, the Carolina game, we get 15 shots on goal and we're still able to squeak out a win. I mean, all props to Frankie on that one. And just one of those clutch performances by a goaltender that you ever needed.
Yeah. I mean, those are the games we just, you know, with our goalie history, if you want to say, that we just, the Avs never really had, you know, they never really stole those games. You know, that's truly what they needed and do need come playoff time, is a goalie that's able to make 50 saves, win a game that they shouldn't. And it's, I think, you know, that was a really good example of that, and how critical, you know, they definitely shouldn't have walked away with 2 points, but they did come playoff time. You know, that could be a W. That could be a game, you know, a series changer, kind of get in the heads of your opponents type of game. So that was great to see. Frankie, I mean, Western Conference Finals of last year. You know it's in him. You know he's capable of doing it.
And, you know, it goes to show, I mean, right now, you look at the goalie tandem that we have going, and Frankie, in my opinion, is in the past 3 years, stood out as one of the better backup goaltenders in the league. But we've lacked that true number one, and I think what we're seeing right now is we're finally getting that 1A, 1B combo that is necessary for a top-tier NHL team. I mean, last year with Kemper and Frankie, we had a little bit, you know, there were spurts of Kemper being great. We talked about that last year. But Georgiev has really shown that he can stand on his head if he needs to. He can make those clutch saves. I mean, the shutout game against Washington, and then last night against Dallas, he had a great performance. You know, Ottinger obviously battled against him very well, but it's great to see as an Avs fan that we finally have that good tandem going, where you don't have this gasp of, are we going to make it out of this game just because who's in net now?
Yeah, this could go down. I mean, if this, you know, Georgie plays out correctly, this has the potential to be one of Sakic's biggest traits. Yeah. I mean, to have potentially that bona fide number one starter, you know, for the next 10 years, 10, 12 years, that's something the Habs have been lacking since Patrick Waugh. That could be an absolute game changer when it comes to the direction of this team. You know, does it make that Stanley Cup window instead of 3 to 5 years, you know, 5 to 7 years? I just can't express how big that his development could be, you know, Frankie as well. But if he can build the confidence, really truly develop into the goalie that we've been seeing flashes of, and really the first 20 games, you know, he's played really, really well. I just want to see it more consistently now. Show me back-to-back seasons of it. Throw in, you know, maybe a Vezina type season. Let's see what happens. And this could absolutely go down as one of another Sakic steal, whatever you want to call it. But this could be having a bona fide franchise goaltender. That could be a game changer.
It absolutely could be. And I mean, really looking back, Kels, being a goaltender yourself, and you know, the way that the team has been with Varley, with Grubauer, with Kemper, with, I mean, Budaj, Abisher, I mean, since Waugh, and don't get me wrong, as an Avs fan who was able to live through that era, we were spoiled with Waugh, but we haven't had anything like that since. So, as you said, this could potentially be that 8 to 10 year goaltender that we have and be our franchise guy and ride out maybe another Stanley Cup or two. It's very exciting.
Goalies are hard. Goalies are very much like quarterbacks in the NFL. You either have one or you don't. And I think you see, you know, putting a goalie into a good situation. Obviously he's playing it, you know, probably the best defense, you know, in the league. And, you know, how that builds the confidence, how that trickles into, you know, playing the puck more aggressive, you know, just overall, you know, when you're a goalie with the Colorado Avalanche right now, recently, you know, you've been put into a good spot. So it's time to build on that, time to build the confidence, time to, you know, back-to-back years, not just a one-and-done type season. So it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see how the rest of the season and next year play out.
Yeah, I mean, what better opportunity for a goaltender that's trying to seek his name in the NHL? A guy that, you know, for all intents and purposes was going to be the starter in New York, and then Shesterkin shows up. So what are you going to do when you have a guy like that show up? I mean, I don't blame New York, but at the same time, this is his opportunity to really, like you said, establish his career and develop into what could be a great goaltender with this team in front of him. When you have a guy like Cale Makar, who is setting records like the first NHL player or NHL defenseman, I should say, to hit 200 points in under 200 games. I mean, this is the team to build that reputation behind. And, you know, you saw Kadri do it last year, and he was able to pole vault himself into a better ending to his career than what he probably saw coming. And I think we could see Georgiev pole vault himself into a franchise player that rides it out. And, you know, with MacKinnon and Landeskog, Rantanen all on longish term deals, man, this is fun right now.
Yeah, the team is set up to succeed. That is for sure. And there's nobody, MacKinnon, Landeskog, Mika, all of them, incredible players, backbones to this team. But not very often do you find a generational, you know, type player in Cale Makar, who I could argue or would argue, maybe not Connor McDavid level, but man, is he close on a different level and a different aspect just because of what he's able to do as a defenseman, which is Connor McDavid like, is absolute treat to watch night in and night out, and just how humble he is, down to earth. Those are the qualities you want to build your team, your culture. Those are the things you want to build around.
The way that Makar is built as a player and as a person, I think Peter DeBoer said it best last night after the game. He was asked, because you know, obviously with the draft that Makar was taken in, Miro Heiskanen was taken in the same draft. There's a lot of comparisons that have been put against those two. Obviously, two totally different players. Heiskanen is an amazing player in his own right. And DeBoer acknowledged that. And he said there, he was asked if there's any comparison or any way that Heiskanen can get to the level of Akil Makar. And DeBoer essentially said, there's not another Akil Makar. That's a guy that you can't find off the street. It's just a totally different type of player than you can have in a Miro Heiskanen. And it's acknowledged around the league what kind of player he is, especially, you know, by the coaches and respected by the offensive players that break into the zones. They know that he can not only break up the play, but if he breaks up that play, he has the potential to go 6 feet up ice and go score a goal. I mean,
yeah, I mean, what he's done, his resume, I mean, all of it just so far is incredible. You might not ever see this type of skill, no. You know, again, in the NHL, from that defensive position, especially. So it's fun. Let's ride it. Let's enjoy it, you know, and don't let it go to waste. Let's, you know, and so far they look great, you know. Apparently, we just need to have you talk about sending Newhook down to the AHL.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, Newhook goes off. So, thank you, I think, is what I was supposed to say.
I mean,
funny how that worked out.
I wanted to bring that up.
I beat you to it. the whole team, I mean, they're starting to see that gel, that chemistry. And with all the injuries, too. I mean,
yeah.
No, there's no excuses with this team. They're finding ways to win, quality wins. You know, the three game road trip that they were on, that wasn't it wasn't bottom tier teams. Those were some top notch teams. And to go 3-0 and skate away with that is, I think you're starting to see the everything's starting to click.
Yeah, and it I think this three-game road trip is really a testament to what our depth is right now. When you look down the lineup, when you're missing a guy like Gabriel Landeskog, obviously, that's crushing to any team. And then you add on top of that Val Nichushkin, who before he got hurt was top in the league, top five in the league in scoring. Sam Girard, who is one of the most pivotal defensemen that we have. He's that good second line pairing that can play the second line power play. I mean, hell, we were running three defense players on the second power play for the first half of the beginning of the season. Sorry, I can't talk right now.
it's almost like it's a holiday week or something.
Yeah. Works crazy and all that. But no, I think really what it comes down to is, you know, the depth is showing up. Newhook, like we talked about last week, he kind of needed that kick in the ass. And, you know, getting benched for half a game apparently was all that he needed to really wake up. And I know on the radio with Moshe Labarde and Kane, Bednar said that, you know, he had a talk with him. And, you know, that was the big thing, was just getting him over that hump and trying to find what he needed. And although it's a small sample size right now, I think he's starting to find that niche on the roster where he needs to be.
Yeah.
You noticed it last game. He wasn't over pushing plays. He wasn't trying to make too much happen. He was playing this safe role where he was comfortable and able to distribute the puck properly, able to get to scoring zones. I mean, he had a great goal.
Yep.
So it's,
I think you're seeing a lot of contributions from, you know, just everybody now. Lekkonen's picking it up, Rodriguez. I mean, everybody's starting to, you know, chip in. Like I said, I think it's starting to build that momentum, chemistry. Things are looking up. And I think that says a lot to Bednar and to Newhook, yeah, of a coachable moment where, absolutely, Newhook checks the ego at the door and is able to take, you know, that feedback, that criticism, whatever the case was, and really turn it around without having to go to something, you know, extreme like being sent down or a healthy scratch. You know, any of those other things, for your coach to be able to just come pull you aside, like, hey, let's go chat for a little bit, and you really absorb what he's saying and take that and apply it to the next game. Huge kudos to Alex Newhook. That's that could go a different way very quickly, you know, and I think that talks about how his team, you know, still has that same culture, that same mindset of it's about everybody else. It's not an individual thing. It's not about a contract, a stat. You know, they're here to win, and they're open to that discussion amongst each other. So that's a huge, I didn't hear that interview with Bednar. So that's really great to hear. And that's exactly, you know, kind of the tone that was set last year, you know, especially talking to the guys. That's, you could feel that that's how things were approached. They held each other accountable. So to see that trickling over this year, that's a really good sign.
It's, I can't say how much I appreciate the way that Bednar seems to coach this team. I mean, obviously we get somewhat of a veiled perspective of what it's truly like inside the locker room, but from everything that I've been able to observe with his interviews on 92.5 and with what I've seen with the team itself, I mean, what better kind of coach to have? He seems just like one of the guys, you know, he's kind of like a Rod Brindamore in that sense. Like,
but in a sense too, like he demands the respect. He still gets the respect. So as much as he's seen as one of the guys and, you know, rubbing up, you know, whatever the case, he's, when he speaks, people listen. And I think that's a sign of like really true leadership.
Yeah.
There's no, he's not there hoot and holler. At least from what I saw last year, he was never really that type, you know, to get too high or get too low. And that he really, like I said, he just, when he spoke, people listen. And I think that's, again, just chopped it up to how coachable Newhook was. Whatever, you know, Bednar had spoke to him, you know, seems to have worked.
It did. I think it's just one of those cool dynamics as a team. They just seem to work so well together. They seem to just be like a family almost. It's a lot of fun to watch, and
it is.
It's something like, you know, as just a regular person, it'd be fun just to be in that locker room, just as a fly on the wall. Because from some of the videos that they put on Instagram of like the post game and stuff like that, it looks like they're just having a good time, you know, like these guys are just, they're in it for the fun of it. And that's why they're doing so well, because they all love each other. They're all in it for the one goal, and they want to do what they did last year again.
Yeah, definitely. I think it goes both ways. I think it's easy to have fun when you're winning, and it's easy to get down on yourself when you're losing or not having the best of start, you know, whatever the case is. And I think that's where we see the most growth. That's where we see, you know, leaders really start to step up. And so while they're winning, things are easy going, lackadaisical, music's playing loud. You know, there's going to be a losing streak. There's going to be a rough patch in this season. And that's where I'm really curious to see, how do they respond? How do they handle it? Who steps up? Even with a slow start right now, I mean, I thought they've handled it extremely well. You know, McKenna, all of them, you know, just the performance on the ice, not, I don't know what's going on, you know, in the post game or press conferences, stuff like that, but it definitely feels like, you know, they shouldered that wave. They're kind of in the high right now. So it's just been fun. It's been good. Still early.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, the season's
over. You had the button out last week, sir.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
Did you put it back? Is it away?
I can't find it. It's gone. I can't find it. It's
good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Keep it lost.
No, I mean, panic button put away. I'm not pulling out the celebration button either. I mean, it's, I needed to, like I said last week, being at the St. Louis game is why I was upset a little bit. Okay, it's just what it was.
But, so you're not allowed to. So what you're saying is we just can't have you at games anymore.
No, just games that I care about. Like St. Louis, I don't want to ever lose to St. Louis. I hate losing to Binghamton. I hate it. just
tell. You're kind of salty the last podcast. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Sorry. No, it's. I get my mood swings are based off of the Avs wins. I mean, it's just the way it is. So they need to put like a New Jersey Devils win streak together. Let's get 13, 14 in a row. I'll be the happiest guy. Let's.
And then they're gonna lose one, and the world's gonna end. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely! At that point, I'll be like, you know what? Let's send some players down to the Eagles again.
Oh, we're done. Everybody's cut. Start from scratch. Trade everyone.
No, I've never been that person. I won't go that route. I'm the send them down.
Send them down guy, not the trade them guy.
Yeah, That's keep them in the system. They still have potential.
Still with the organization. You're just, okay. Makes sense.
It's like,
well,
it's
we'll
like,
make it even kill. We'll make it even kill. Kind of like Bednar, just very.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that. Like, I'm not.
We'll work on that.
We'll try. Everybody. This is going to be a project for me and Kelsey. We're going to be more melatonin.
No, do not drag me into this. No. Very much so. Yeah. Even kill. You are the one that writes the highs and the lows. I'm just.
Okay. Yeah, fair. Unless I bring up the Broncos, right?
Sensitive subjects. Talk about a toxic culture, though. Holy cow.
Right. And just.
Talk about.
Something to, like, it, a weird dynamic in Colorado sports right now. You have the Colorado Avalanche with a player like Cale Makar. Very humble, very respected. Look at the Nuggets. They have Nikola Jokic, a very humble superstar. Two-time MVP, very respected around the league, right? And then you have the Broncos. And Russell Wilson, honestly, he's humble, but he's a bragging humble. Like, he's a very social humble. You know what I mean? He's not a go out there, I'm the best quarterback kind of guy, but, you know, we have three superstars who are quote-unquote humble in their own right, but the Broncos just can't seem to do anything with what they have.
Again, and I think it just goes to talk about this team, the leaders, you know, within this team, it's starting from the top with Sakic all the way down, losing control of a locker room.
Yeah.
Happens, and it can be detrimental. It really can. And so to see the Avs perform like this night in and night out, it's just incredible. I think the leadership, all of it, because it can get bad, it can get ugly when you don't the right accountability, the right culture, the coaching, the coachability, the willingness to be coached.
Yep.
That's how you end up 3-7.
Well, and I mean, even comparable to an older Avs team. Let's look at, like, with Matt Duchene on the team the last couple years, that locker room, from what I've understood, became a toxic culture. It was, you know, Landeskog did his best for to try to maintain that, but Duchene was not in a happy place. You know, prior to that, before O'Reilly left, O'Reilly wasn't in a happy place. You know, Stastny wanted out. It's nice to see that not only we're a winning team, but we have a winning culture.
Well, and you have guys that want to play here, that want to bring not just one but multiple Stanley Cups back to Denver, who have signed long-term contracts, who are committed to the team, the fan base, ownership, management, all of it. They're all in it together. It's not, you know, a couple here and there, or, you know, demanding trades, stuff like that. Like, this is a very much people want to come here. You're not tied to people like Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and, you know, whoever else they're tied to. If you had a crappy culture or crappy locker room and accountability, then you're not linked to those types of players.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it boils down to, is this team from the top down has been built and assembled and maintained as one of the best teams on and off the ice, both visually appealing, and, you know, you could probably have a conversation with any one of the players on the street. It's a very cool thing to have. But on that note, Kelsey, I mean, was there anything else this last three games that you wanted to talk about? The shootout win with Miko or anything like that?
You know, nothing necessarily game wise, but you brought up something it made me think. You said they're visually appealing, which in my mind always went to the reverse retro jersey. What do you think of the new jersey that came out?
Yeah, I have it.
Of course you do. This is my surprise face.
Yeah. So
Do
I honestly I love it.
you?
I do.
Interesting. Okay.
I do. And the reason I like it is everybody ties it to the Colorado Rockies team. And in reality it's an homage to the state. And yes, New Jersey did a very similar color scheme on their reverse retros this year. But I like the simplicity of it. I like the piping. It has the same two stripe pipe like what the original jerseys from 96 had, which I always liked that style. It's to me a very sexy jersey. I will wear it. I ordered a Nichushkin one. I don't have it yet, but I ordered
It's
it.
on its way. It's
Yeah.
on its way.
But no, I like it a lot. What do you think of them?
I'm not a fan. I'm
Really?
not. It seems like it's a very similar design to the year that they had the stadium out at Coors Field. So the C con it just wasn't very creative. I mean,
Okay,
they
so
it feels like they spent all their creativity last year on coming up with the greatest reverse retro jersey to then like, all right, we're just gonna tweak a couple of colors and we're gonna call it good. I mean, it's the exact same concept with the C. It just
I
felt very
okay, so I've had this argument that yes, it has the same C as the Stadium Series jersey. That's also the same C from the Colorado State flag. Like,
So, funny story. So change it up. It's my point. Change
okay, fine.
it
So, what'd you want them to do? Put the
up.
triangle around it again?
Something. I don't know. Anyway, I think it was at like the Parade of Lights or something. I had the beanie on and it had the C on it. And at this point, the abs, they weren't where they are. It was really recent after that stadium, game. Anyways, somebody runs up to me and is like, "Go Cubbies!" Because I was just like, "Oh no!" I literally turned my hat the other way because I was like, "Well, I can't be walking around like that." So I just always have like that funny memory associated with the C. I granted nowadays, like everybody, you're from Colorado, you know what the jersey is, but when the Avs weren't doing very well and the Cubs, had just won the series, World Series or whatever, it just was like hilarious. Somebody comes up and is like, "Go Cubby!" Like, not that team.
See, what I wish is that New Jersey didn't. I don't. I think that they own the rights to the actual Rockies logo, because that, I think, would have looked a lot cooler than just the C.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of different ways, a lot of different things you probably could have done with it. But hey, I'm not a jersey designer, so I will sit right here and just spew my opinion everywhere.
Fair, but it's a great jersey. It's a great jersey. You're wrong. Just but you can
Oh.
have your opinion. You can have your opinion. It's fine.
Didn't you say to send Alex Newhook to the AHL? Was that last week? Was that?
Hey, it worked.
No, it worked. Okay. We'll call that the Trevor Jinx.
Hey, my nickname is Jinx. Like, literally, because I break cars all the time. I'm nicknamed Jinx by all my
It's
friends,
true. You go through more cars than any person I know.
yeah.
All
I
right.
am Jinx. I am the professional Jinx. I will jinx every player so that they can do better. You got
All
it.
right. Thanks.
But all right, Kels. Well, I want you to have a good Thanksgiving. I want everybody else listening to have a good Thanksgiving. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Make sure to follow our page on Facebook, Couch Potato Sports. Crash the Net, and make sure to follow our mother page, Couch Potato Sports. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Go Avs.
Happy Thanksgiving.